Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I'll be reading a little post which relates to words and reality. It was as part of my language and reality series. Relates to the word abracadabra. I published this on the 22nd of November, 2014. So abracadabra in Hebrew is, well, A-B-R-K-D-A-B-R. Abracadabra. And you can also see, remove the B and put a V. And it can also be avracadavra, which is the phrase used in Harry Potter, I believe. They don't say abracadabra, they say avracadavra. That's because the B and the V are interchangeable. So we have bara, to create. Well, these are just words that I broke apart in the in the A-B-R-K-D-A-B-R, ab, or bar, a-bar, and then cad, and dabber. So I'm trying to break up the words and find what they mean in word breaking up. Apart from everyone else's definition, I'm looking for other possibilities of what the words mean. So you, instead of ab for father, you can look at bara, so to create. Because you can also look at it as ab for father, which I found below. But you have bara, to create. So the real meaning is bara ke dabar. That's where the word comes from. And the aleph is often silent, so that's why you don't have the a first. But if you do look at ab, because ab is the word, well, you have other words I found that are in the whole word. It is ab, father, and you have ra, which is evil or adversity, and you have kadab, false or lying. So abra kadab could also mean father, evil, adversary, false, lying. I guess the evil creator god or whatever, the fantasy fictional god in the Bible that's used to just illustrate morality and authority, blind acceptance to authority, and following the will, because it's not always the authority. A figure, the dominator, isn't always the law. Sometimes it's an immoral, godly fatherhood, and sometimes it represents the law. So, ab, father, ra, evil, adversary, kadab, false, lying. So it's just another breakdown of words that I found. So this is not what it means. So what it means is bara, to create, ke, as like or according to, and dabar, speak, arrange. So you create like you speak. You create according to what you speak. So it means I will create as has been spoken, which means your words, your actions follow your words. That your words lead to your actions. So again, trinity of consciousness, your thoughts and emotions lead to your actions. So I will create as has been spoken. So what you speak and you say will happen, well, then you're going to do it. That's all it is. It's not about magic and creating things out of pulling a rabbit out of a hat. In Aramaic, abra equals create, and kadabra equals as my word, as I say, which is very similar to the Hebrew, so it means create as I say. So you can see how it can be used in the magical sense as a manipulation, as a controlling. So the magic of sorcery and controlling others, create as I say. So you're telling other people to do as you say. That's just another way of looking at it. But essentially it's, I will create just like I said. So you say something and then you're going to do it. So you're going to create based on what you said. So you're not going back on your word. You're not in contradiction. You follow through. And then the magician pulls the rabbit out of the hat just like he said he would. So he said, I'm going to pull this rabbit out of the hat, and then he does. So you see how in magic it relates? You'll create just like I said. So I said I'm going to pull a rabbit out of the hat, and then I did. So he followed through with what he said, even though it was an illusion. So this saying is about following through, living up to your words, to create in action, as you say you do in your words. Actions speak louder than words. You shall know them by their actions. This is about unity consciousness of your thought, emotions, and actions. And what you say is what you do. This is not about creating a tangible object into existence from non-existence because you spoke some words. create as I say. You can do that for yourself, or follow the mind control of others and create the world they want as they say it is and should be. So you create as you say, or someone else says create as I say, and then you create as they say. So they speak words. The words they speak are spells on your mind in terms of conceptions, where the concept and the belief is accepted by you. They sell a belief, you buy into it, and it casts a spell on your mind, whereby what they say becomes how you create. I hope that makes sense in terms of mind control and how the magic and sorcery can work through word manipulation. They feed you words that influence you, that have you accept a belief, and then you create according to that belief. A spell of magic has been cast onto your mind, and now you're living in that spell. This is how beliefs can infect us, especially pseudo-spiritual and non-verifiable beliefs that are not grounded in reality, that are just beliefs people induct and invent as ways to explaining things. That's what induction is you're creating, you're imagining a general conclusion. You're trying to explain things about reality by coming up with a general answer. But that's all that's done. They just induct, and they don't deduct further to verify. What about other inductions? What about other ideas? Can they be deduced more accurately into reality? Choice is an act of creation. Free will is creative. When we choose one thing over another, we choose to give it power as we manifest it into being. We exercise power through the symbol of words, or through an action in the physical world that reflects the choice, care, will, and word symbol images in our mind. So when someone feeds you a belief and you buy into it, and then you're going to act according to it, and you're going to propagate that belief, well, that's the word symbol image in your mind. Through those word symbols, it creates an image in your mind, a belief, a concept. And then you're going to live in the physical world as a reflection of those word symbols. That the exercise of power through the word symbols that infected your mind with a belief. And then you believe it. Where's the verification? Where's the delineation from possibility to, oh, well, it's an actuality. So when you have beliefs in things, and you're going to state them as you know them, as an actuality, well, you don't know how to discern properly. You don't know processes in the mind, and you don't know how to differentiate between what is impossible, or what is possible, probable, and actual. Or you reject it as impossible. There are some things that are impossible, but most things, even beliefs, I count them as possible because I don't know. So when people want to take beliefs and say that they do know them, well, they're just lying to themselves because they're not verified in reality. They're a belief, they're a possibility, but you don't know. But you want to believe you know because it provides you with answers, and you don't want to let go of the attachment to the answers that they provide you, so you want to keep believing in them. And it's the same thing with other aspects of our existence, where we are fed concepts and then we buy into them because at the time they provided answers to questions we have, or they provided answers to questions we didn't have, but now we have an answer. So yay, it provides comfort, it provides security that we have an answer for something we didn't have an answer for. So we buy into it and accept it as truth, as reality, even though it's not in reality, it can't be verified in reality. Some beliefs can't be verified in reality, but you're going to believe them anyways. And then you're going to claim that it's truth, and you're going to claim that you know it, but it's still a belief. It still comes from your mind. It's not verified in reality. It's a universal aspect that is inducted in your mind. Whether it comes from yourself or from someone else, if you can't tie it back through a deduction in reality, it's a free-floating belief that is not grounded in reality. And if you're going to claim that it's a truth, that you know it, well, you're just lying to yourself because of the attachment that this belief provides in answering things about life that can provide aspects of insecurity. So you have an answer. It gives you empowerment through that answer. Even if it's a false answer, you're empowered. Look at all the people in Germany that were empowered by false beliefs. They were empowered. They acted. They were empowered by word spells, false beliefs that are not grounded in reality, that were lies, that if they did take the time to deduce, they would have figured out that they were lies and they were being manipulated. But they didn't do that because they've been inducted with powerful word symbols that inducted images in their mind and perceptions of reality that fueled them into courage and care and will in alignment with that false word symbol image in their mind, and they chose to act on that. So this is how everything works. Look at America, look at all armies, look at people. They get infected with beliefs and they believe in them as good, and then they act on them. So you're going to believe, you know, oh yeah, I'm a German back in the day, and I know Hitler's a good guy, and I know this National Socialist Party is good. Can you verify that in reality, or are you just being manipulated with concepts? And then we have even more abstract things, like beliefs in universals that we can't verify, like, oh, well, there's reincarnation. Oh, well, there's this karma of your past life, which puts you into the position now, so you're a specific unit from a past life, which keeps reincarnating because you have to learn your lesson. Well, these are just beliefs. You try to give explanations for why you're in your current position in life right now. Oh, well, it's not based on all of our actions that we input into reality that create the condition we're in, because we don't have care and we don't have this understanding of oneness and morality in order to act together to create true freedom and peace. No, we're all divided into falsity, so we're creating survivalist, predatory, dominator ways of living that create disparity and inequality. You know, that makes a lot of sense, yes. Oh, but no, I'm going to choose to believe in karma. That means I'm in my position because of another life, because of what I did in that life. No, everyone is in the position they are in right now, collectively in the aggregate, because of everyone that has come before them that has created the world that we have right now. It has nothing to do with past lives in the sense that, oh, well, you have a past life that has an identity that then reincarnates and then it loses that particular identity. And then when you die, you go back to that identity, and then you're born again with a new identity, and then you go back to that identity. Well, that's not the true concept of karma. That's not how karma works. Karma is just past actions create what happened now. It's just cause and effect. That's all karma is. It's not a specific past life that led to your life here in a one-to-one relationship with that life in your life. That's a belief to try to give meaning to why your position, your specific position, is different from other people's specific position. So other people have a better position than you because, oh, well, they had a better karma in their past life, so now they have a better position. Or, you know, there's many ways. Oh, they had a worse karma in their life and they made up for it in the past life, so now they get to experience less suffering than their past life because they acted right, and now they get all the wealth and they're all rich and they're smarter. And, oh, well, me, I'm a sex slave, and that's because, well, in my past life, I was a murderer, so, and I have to experience the suffering that I imposed on others. It's all belief. People believe, oh, well, you're going to incarnate as a cow because before you were a butcher, and now you're going to incarnate as a cow to experience the suffering, because that's what all our individual soul units need. Our individual soul identities need is to experience everything. That's why you get into this New Age bullshit of, oh, yeah, everything's about experience. There's no right and wrong. It's all about experience because you're just a past life. You're just a higher, your real you is just a soul. And you're just incarnating in order to experience. So it's okay if harmful things happen. It's part of experience. Don't you see how this is all free-floating conceptual structures that are not grounded in reality? They're just belief to give you security about things that are insecure. So such death, and why you're in your current position, and certain answers that you don't, certain questions that you don't have answers to, but here you come with this belief, and then you buy into it because it provides you with an answer that you didn't have. And then when you have an answer that you didn't have, well, it gives you a sense of security and comfort. It feels good. So to continue with the article, to act in the world or say something sends out a form of energy that reverberates into the lives of others. It manifests in potentially unseen causal relationships. The seeds may be planted that produce an effect later on. The energy we put out can affect us and others in subtle, as of yet unrecognizable ways. The law of cause and effect is everywhere, seen and unseen. This is how karma actually works. It has nothing to do with past life incarnations. Do you know where you are incarnating from? From the One Source Consciousness. That is the higher self, the higher will, the true self. So if you want to look at incarnation, there is an incarnation in sense of, if you want to accept the concept that we are consciousness as an individuated unit from the greater collective one all consciousness that gets individuated, that's how it actually happens. That's how you get reincarnated, because it's all the one thing that's incarnating itself, right? Conceptually, I'm not saying this is the way it is, it's just a concept and it's an attempt to try to explain things. We have questions we don't have answers to, so we induct and we invent answers through universals and try to explain things. So that's all, these are just speculations. But they're speculations that are more grounded in reality and make more sense than other speculations which make least sense because they are more fantastical and belief-based in non-grounded aspects. And they self-reference each other. That's why people think that they are true, because this false belief references another false belief references, and if you have 10, 20 of those, well then it creates an semblance of correspondence and validation, but none of it is grounded. It's all, they all refer to each other and bounce off each other. And why do they exist, these beliefs? They're based on aspects of reality, but they're based on faulty understandings of reality, flawed understandings of reality. So they twist things and they abstract them to ways that are not legitimate. You can abstract anything, you can invent anything in your mind. Hey, purple elephant. Create a bunch of other beliefs and tie them to purple elephant so that they all substantiate and sustain each other, but they're not grounded in reality. Anyone can do that. You're just trying to make sense of the world and you're trying to provide reasons and you're trying to think things through. You're trying to collect data and then you're trying to make sense of it together and provide an answer. That's why people accept clever sophistry and rhetoric, because there's an answer provided and it seems to make sense. So yeah, people, the general concept of karma seems to make sense. The general concept of reincarnation seems to make sense. The general concept of the afterlife seems to make sense to the religious people. The general concept of whatever seems to make sense. The afterlife and immortality, well, it seems to make sense because you were fed word symbols that created images in your mind that had you care for them, and then you lived, and through your will and choice, you lived in ways in alignment with that, because the belief impacted you, and now you believe it. Now it's the truth. Now you know it. Even though it's just a belief, you've only inducted it in your mind. Now it becomes real. It becomes the way it is in another reality, even though you're not there and you don't know. But now you're going to claim that you know, even though you're not there and you don't know. And you can't know. But you're going to say that you know. But it's all just belief in your mind. This is how people get attached to beliefs and they don't understand that things that you come up in your mind doesn't make it real. You have to actually come back to the objective reality and ground it. So there's speculation and there's beliefs and there's models of trying to understand things. And some models are weaker than others. Why? Well, because they were invented by pseudo-spiritualists and slave caste systems in order to convince people of certain things and inequalities and make sense of why they're in their certain position, make sense and create self-images and worldview constructs to understand their position in reality and their position in the universe. And, oh, well, it's okay, I'm going to reincarnate. And, oh, well, it's my past karma. And, oh, all these other excuses. And it's just beliefs in your mind. They're not grounded in reality, so don't claim them to be true. Choice and participation, what we choose to participate in, is what we give power and energy to for growth to occur. This is how evil functions. We are the one who create and participate in evil, immoral actions. We are the ones who create and participate in evil and immoral actions. So you get infected with a belief, and then you care for it, and you use your will, motivated by that care, and then you actualize your will through action, and a choice, and then you create that into reality. So again, the current world we have is all based on this. It's not based on your past life, and you get put into a certain position, you get born into one family instead of another. No, you could be anywhere. We're all the same. We're all nothing. We all become who we are based on being born into specific times and locations, and then the impositions of our environment and certain biological factors and DNA and whatever, and that creates who we are. We're different bodies in different places. We have different social influence. We have different nurturing from the environment and our parents and society, and that creates different people. We're all unique. We're all individuals because of that. So if we were all born at the same place, in the same time, in the same body, and the same experience in life, and the same experiences, the same influence, the same nurturing from our environment, our parents, and society, we would all be the same thing. You know, it'd be like running a computer simulation. Well, as a thought experiment, you just put one aspect, you just run a program with certain variables, and if you run it the same way every time, you're going to get the same thing. So this is where my understanding of programming can help me understanding aspects of reality. Because reality is run according to boundaries, limits, and laws, which is what programming is. Okay? We all have programming DNA, which is responsible for the development of our physiological being, our physical being. So programming is an aspect of the reality we live in, because there's laws and limits. It's run by logic, and that's what programming is. Laws, limits, and logic. So when you have a program running, and it's the same thing every time, the same location, the same time, the same influences, the same factors, the same impositions, the same nurturing, the same environment, the same social and parenting and everything, all the same experiences, you're going to create the exact same ego personality identity construct every time you run the program. So the only thing that makes us different as ego personality identity constructs, as individuated units of consciousness, are the variability, diversity, and multiplicity of the differences, the different variables of our position where we're born, the time we are born into, the genetics we have from our parents, and the environment we are raised in, the nurturing of the environment, our society, and our parents. All those are impositions that create the individuality. Without that variability, diversity, and multiplicity, we would all be the same exact person. So, if we were the exact same person, then clearly there isn't a different identity that we're coming from as a, quote, true self or higher self. No, because the higher self is the higher will, which is God. So, automatically, see, you're not thinking things through in your concepts when you believe these things that we are, we're an individuated soul unit that reincarnates. Well, if that were true, in my model of programming, if you were an individual above that influences who you become, then every time you would run that program, it would come from a different soul source. Well, then you'd have a different being that would be produced, because that's where you think your individuality comes from, where your uniqueness comes from, where your identity comes from that higher identity soul self. But that's not where your identity comes from here. Your identity comes from, as I just explained it, because of variability, diversity, and multiplicity within the boundaries, limits, and programming of logic and laws in this universe. Now, when you get out of that aspect of constructability, well, there's no soul higher unit. There's no individual soul higher unit. There may be an individuation aspect of the Source One All Consciousness, so the drop from the ocean, or the spark from the flame. But that's from the All One. It's not its own identity. We are the identity in the manifested realm of the limits and laws that allow identity to emerge through the variability, diversity, and multiplicity of what exists in reality. Because without that, we'd all be the same. Because there wouldn't be differences. It would all be the same. Hence, that is why there is no soul, individual identity. We are the identity. And the other identity, the true self, well, it isn't an identity itself. We just call it an identity, again, through anthropomorphizing and projecting words in order to understand higher concepts. The true self is not an identity. We just call it an identity because we use the word self. So if you have self, well, there's an identity. But it doesn't have an identity. It's just the one thing. If you have one thing, there is no identity. So it's just a misnomer that we call the one, the God, the whatever, its own identity. It doesn't have an identity. It's one. You only get identity through the variability, multiplicity, and diversity, and non-contradiction that creates different things, so you have different identities. Individuation, individuals, is one thing that's not like the other. Or else they'd be the same. And if everything was the same, then it would all be one. And you wouldn't have individuality, and you wouldn't have identity. So the true self is the higher self, is higher will, is God's source. So we are here, and then there's the other aspects, the transcendental aspects of being, which are somewhere else. But this is all conceptual and this is all speculative. It's just, where does morality come from? So if you take the aspect of consciousness and the eye awareness, then you realize, well, the eye awareness is still an eye awareness. Even if I'm born into a different body, a different location, I have different influences, I have different impositions, I have different nurturing in my environment, parents, and society. Well, still the eye awareness is still eye awareness. It's still pure awareness. So what is that pure awareness? Well, it's the all awareness, the source consciousness. That's why it's all the same. It's not an individual. The reason people think it's an individual, because you're still in an individual body as an individuated unit of experience where you can possibly experience this one, this eye awareness state of pure awareness, but you're still an individuated unit experiencing it, so you're projecting that individuality onto your experience of that eye awareness. Because you can only experience it as an individual, as an identity from here. And then you tap into an aspect of awareness of the source, which would be the source energy that manifests into a body, into the physical host body that has a constructability and complexity capable of expressing consciousness to the ability required. So, you know, rocks, well, maybe they have consciousness, maybe plants have the source consciousness, and maybe rocks have the source consciousness through their body vehicles and then just can't express it. I view it more as in terms of the laws and programmability of nature and the physicality of our bodies, because that's all boundaries, limits, and laws. All physicality operates in that. So the body vehicles are all boundaries, limits, and laws. So rocks are boundaries, limits, and laws, and they don't have a consciousness in it. It's not expressive. Plants, the same thing. As I understand it, they are just operating through boundaries, limits, and laws, like a program. And you can generate programs to replicate plant movements and growth. You cannot design a program that does the free will of animals, because free will is not boundaries, limits, and laws. Free will is the opposite of that. You have determinism of the boundaries, limits, and laws, and then you have the free will, which is the randomness. The thing that is capable of creating changes. The thing that is capable of creating evil or good. See, the free will agent, the causal agent, is the one that has the most power. And those are the animals. And the higher order complexity and the coordination of components that create the complexity of the physical unit body capable of hosting a individuated unit of consciousness as an energy source. That energy source manifests through the physical body machinery in order to express itself. So when your physical body machinery is not complex enough, you cannot express the complexity within the consciousness that's in the host. So, you know, it's possible that a rock has an aspect of individuated consciousness, which I find is funny, but it can't manifest anything in consciousness because it doesn't have the physiological capabilities to do it. The same for a plant. The plant doesn't interact, it doesn't move, it doesn't express emotions, it doesn't cry, it doesn't feel, it doesn't have joy and happiness. It's just a plant. It operates according to boundaries, laws, and limits. You can imitate it in a program on computers, which operate the same way. As I said, you can't do that with free will. Because even within, in a program, randomness is not random. It's based on numbers that just stop according to time. So even in a random number generator, you're taking an iteration of time and then you're doing calculations based on time, which is unique because it's based on the 1970 or 1971. Anyways, time is based on that. So it's an incremental number that keeps increasing based on a date in time. So as each second goes by, well, the number you're going to generate is going to be different from the previous number because the time unit, the variable of time you're using in your equation to determine a random unit is always going to be different because it's a different unit of time. So you might end up with the same number in the end. You might end up with 2 over and over, but you won't have it successively because the formula and the number will provide a different number. So you might have it down the line where the equation will recursively come back and produce the same numbers. So it looks random, but it's not random. So that's why cause and effect is everywhere and it only looks random, but it's not random. That's just seen and there's aspects that are seen and unseen. But the truly random part is really random where you can create. Alright, I'll just finish this article now, this little post. We can create with the power of your consciousness. You can create with the power of your own consciousness, output words to influence others in either a good capacity or evil capacity, in alignment with truth and morality of your own false self-corrupted egoic desires, wants, and wishes. So you can create in good or evil, in alignment with truth and morality, which would be the good, or your own false corrupted egoic desires, wants, and wishes, which would probably be evil. Because if you're not caring about truth and morality, then most likely you're still living in aspects of falsity and creating immorality. So we can keep the ways of thinking that others have imposed into us through social engineering frameworks to create as they say to create. So believe in this and live according to that. And when you have false beliefs that sustain each other, well, it gives the semblance of congruence, of integrity, of unity, of correspondence. But it's not corresponded to reality. It's not corresponded to truth in reality. It's just a free-floating belief. They are speaking the false constructed secondary subjective reality all the time through the media. Their voice action, the conditioning of our parents and peers, speaks influence to us and has us engaging in their false program of living, their spells, their abracadabra. We need to be our own abracadabra to discern truth, morality, and reality accurately and live accordingly. And that's the end of the article. Thank you very much for your time and attention. Have a nice day. Take care. Peace.